Hello, friends, and welcome to Inks and Issues, a book club podcast for comics. I'm your host, Jonah Gregory.
And I'm Sweet Meat Meatloaf, Kieran Bennett.
And today we have special guest, Nika Howard from Greetings Adventurers.
I'm a witch! Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm way over 16, but I would put my name in the devil's book.
Yeah, I would too.
Got to get those sweet, sweet powers because it is spooky season, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So today, I don't think we said it, but we should probably say real quick that we're talking about The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Sorry to interrupt you like that. So.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, like, could you imagine how much better this year could have gone if we had some powers? Like, even just able to levitate 3 inches off the ground, changed my life.
So, Nika, welcome to the show. You have not been on before, correct? So we're, other than the bonus episodes at Geek.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was one. We talked about witches, and I think that's it.
All right. Yeah, I was trying to remember if we did like a full episode proper or if.
No, yeah. I think it was GeeklyCon 2017. Was it 2017? And we talked about Sabrina very briefly.
Okay.
And then I was
And then we're like, hey, let's record this. And then it took us three years. Okay, that's fair.
Hey, no one can say we never did it, though.
Exactly. And you know what? It's been in the works for a while, so I'm sure it'll be perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you want to give us a little backstory of like why you chose this comic before we get into it? Because we always let the guest pick the comic. I don't know if people are aware of that.
Oh, I love this. I just think that it's really interesting to have a story about Sabrina that isn't just the normal like Melissa Joan Hart show where she's very sweet and like even the show now she's still sweet and everything, but this one is like, yes, I am gonna make a mortal boy fall in love with me because I'm a witch, fuck being nice and all of that shit, and I'm gonna sell my soul to Satan, and they're like all just like, yeah, we eat humans, and they're like casual about it, so it's like more, it feels more realistic almost.
More like the
to like old what a witch timey, story would be.
Yeah, old timey portrayal of a witch.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just the crystals and sage burning. It's like, no, there are witches that have to eat people.
Yeah, and I got real like and hopefully you can hear the inflection of my voice. I got like witches vibe from it. You know, the Scott Snyder, like that very that kind of flavor of like old world sort of witches rather than like you know, black cats and hook noses kind of thing, but like very like don't go into the woods.
Yes. Also, they do have a cat, but it's not all black, so they're not playing into the stereotype that the cat has to just be a short-haired all black cat. This is a fluffy cat who's black and white. So it really threw me for a curveball. So Kieran, do you have any fun facts before we start going through the story proper?
You know I do.
Okay, thank God.
So the very distinctive and wonderful art is by Robert Hack, who has done the Afterlife with Archie comic. And he's also done all of the issues of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And he's also done a ton of covers and like concept art and stuff. And he's also done a lot of the art for the show as well, including a lot of his art is used for the title sequence of the show. And some of it is... Okay.
That's why it looked so familiar.
Yeah. And some of that art is lifted from this comic, which we are about to read. And then some of the other stuff is like made for the show. To adjust for like different castings and stuff like that. So he, I'm trying to remember how the exact relationship worked. He's a friend of a guy who knows the writer. And so when they were going to do this, he was like recommended being like, oh, you should totally use this guy. And so the writer is Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, I think is how you would pronounce that.
Okay.
And so he's written a ton of plays and like a lot of TV and stuff. He's written for Glee, Big Love, Riverdale. He actually wrote the book for American Psycho, the musical. And apparently back in the day, he was also brought on as part of a team to try and fix the Spider-Man musical script.
Oh, wow.
It can be done.
Turn off the dark. Turn off the dark. What was that thing called?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so wasn't successful, obviously. He did get his start in comics when Marvel hired an editor who they specifically asked to try and find like more writers, like more kind of like diverse like writers. And so they came from a theater background in that. And so that editor was like, oh, I know this guy, Roberto. He'll be like a really great fit. And so he ended up writing a few like Fantastic Four stories and a couple other bits and pieces here. But then he got his really big break when he pitched Afterlife with Archie, which was a massive success. And that actually led to him being appointed as the creative director of Archie Comics as like a whole thing. So he's done Afterlife with Archie, and he's done the Jughead one, and he's also done Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and kind of like oversees the, I guess, mature series.
The Archie world.
The Archie world and all that kind of stuff.
Now, we reviewed Afterlife with Archie a while back.
That was Halloween 2019.
Yeah, it was good. It was basically The Walking Dead meets Archie, essentially. Which was an interesting mashup, but it worked pretty well, surprisingly.
He's so good at horror. He has a way of just really being able to, I think, capture the story of it through what the characters are doing or what they're saying, but also through what they're doing, which I think a lot of writers, you kind of see it in one way, but not necessarily another way.
Yeah, that's fair. I did read the introduction that Roberto wrote about, you know, the connections between doing Afterlife with Archie and then eventually leading to this book. And basically, I didn't realize that the setting of the 60s and stuff till I read this was a whole throwback to when they did a horror anthology in that era. And that's where the name came from, too. So it's like they did reach back into the past of the characters and went, okay, let's use like the bones of this and make it like a real horror story this time, which I thought was cool because they do like to do throwbacks to weird characters in the Archieverse, I've noticed, because I'm sure we've all seen how ridiculous Riverdale is, how it is highly entertaining trash.
It's a totally normal, realistic show about regular high schoolers.
Yeah, exactly. Regular high schoolers who look like they're all pushing 30. Yep.
Yeah. Life is hard for the youth this day.
I mean, there's
days.
A lot of random murders and weird cover-ups in that town. So people age very quickly.
Based on what I know of Riverdale, like they're under a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's why everyone has to get super ripped in that town because they have to be able to fight the ghosts.
I'm sorry, they have to be able to fight the ghosts.
Yeah. No, I'm making that part up.
Oh my God. But I believe
you.
Yeah,
I know, right? That's how ridiculous it is.
You should watch Riverdale. Less so than Sabrina, but.
I feel like it would be one of those shows where I'd be like, ugh. This is terrible.
Let's watch another.
Let's watch the next one. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's exactly what Riverdale is.
Yeah. Yeah. And Archie is played by a New Zealander.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
He's great.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into it then. So we start with chapter one, Something Wicked, which is, you know, issue one. They're called chapters in this one, so we'll just go with that. So we start in a prologue in Westbridge, Massachusetts, when Sabrina is a year old, and we're introduced to her father, who is awaiting the arrival of the Coven of Witches, because Sabrina's mom was like, hey, these witches are actually terrible, and I'm going to take my daughter and get the hell out of here. But she makes the classic mistake of running into the woods while trying
to... One of the seven blunders.
Yeah, one of the seven blunders. Trying to escape witches by running into the woods. I mean, come on, lady.
There was a part of me that as soon as she did that, I was like, what? You should know this.
Yes.
You're married to a witch.
Yeah. Married to, like, the warlock, like the big dude in their coven.
He runs the whole church.
Right.
Didn't know what I was getting into.
Yeah, and then he Naruto's the baby with a with their doll and is like, aha, you didn't attack it at all. I had the baby the whole time.
He baby no jutsus it away.
And then he casts a spell on her and basically puts her in a mental institution. And it is a very disturbing scene of depicting like the old style, the stereotypical asylum you would see in any horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And especially in the 60s.
Yes, for sure. It definitely leans.
When they were very understanding.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know, yep. Quite caring.
It leans very heavily into the 60s horror, because in that era, whereas 60s, 70s were a lot of the like devil horror films started being popular. And that intro actually mentions that being a huge influence on the book, too. Just that kind of era of horror. But then the, you know, they commit Sabrina's mom, which it's a very upsetting intro to this, these characters.
It's bad. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wasn't a fan of that. But basically it's because they want Sabrina to grow up being, you know, a witch and not going to the mortal side. And you're like, well, then why did you marry a mortal in the first place? You freak. Like,
whom's this to know?
Yeah. It's almost like he has some big overarching conspiracy.
Yeah. I feel like there was supposed to be a thing. Like it was like a deal where, okay, you can't have kids, but now we'll let you have kids. But this first one is ours.
Right.
The rest, the like a Rumpelstiltskin kind of situation. Exactly. The rest of them, all yours. This one's ours. But then Diana was like, no, I grew this one myself. I'm keeping it. And
that's what all moms say. Just ask Brittany. It's like she holds up our kids and is like, look at these. I grew them myself.
Yeah, it is like I feel like it's a really great intro, because this is what, like, page. This is like 10 pages right. in, and it gives you such a, like, it's such a good taste of, like, what is to come and, like, what the, like, tone is going to be. And so I feel like it's just a good, like, kind of indication of, like, hey, this is kind of, like, where we're at. This is where we're going to be going. You know, just so you're aware of, like, what the tone's going to be going forward. And, yeah, and I quite enjoyed it in, like, a weird way.
I feel like the trend in a lot of movies and shows and everything is, if you have a situation like this, usually it is the woman who's like sacrificing the husband for like the ability to have the kid and get the power. Or the husband is trying to save the wife into not having to like kill them or do whatever.
Yeah.
But in this, he's like, Diana.
Yeah.
Okay, what if we didn't kill her? Let's just, like, I don't know, let's lobotomize her, maybe. Yeah. Put a spell on her, throw her in an institute. It's a twist.
Mm-hmm. She's certainly still alive, in a way.
In a way. She is breathing.
Mm-hmm. So then we jump ahead to Sabrina's 6th birthday, where she is throwing a 6-year-old temper tantrum. But she's a witch, so it involves her like throwing everything around the room. She's now living with her aunts. What are their names? Zelda and what?
Link.
What? Link? Yes. Hilda. Hilda. Yes. Sorry, I blanked on that. Zelda and Hilda. Yep, got it. And Link. So basically, like, she's like, you said my dad was gonna be here for my birthday, and they're like, no, we said we hoped he would be here for your birthday.
Yeah.
And they kind of talk her back down. It's like, oh, he's just so busy, he's like, can't make it. And then we find out that he has been turned into a tree because witches. Yeah.
There were several things that I noticed in this that were readapted in the show in a different way. And I kind of wonder if maybe this tree thing is part of it, because like in one of the shows, they talk about people who get stuck in stones and it's like this punishment, like in hell and all of this. So I wonder.
Yeah.
The original reason why that was maybe that. Like, is this spell gone wrong? Was he punished for, you know,
putting his wife in an insane asylum at the bottom? No, probably not by the witches, but
yeah,
for something else.
And then for her present, we get to meet, you know, the cat familiar, who is a popular character in the Melissa Joan Hart one because he wisecracks a lot. And his name is Salem. like I said, he's a black and white fluffy cat. So throwing a little curveball into the into the traditional black cat thing. And he is a kind of a smart ass in this version, too, which I appreciated, because I have to say the thing that they really shouldn't have done is make him mute in the new one.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. Because he doesn't talk. He's also like a weird goblin creature inside.
Yeah, familiars and in this, are like demons and shit.
Yeah, but in this they're like humans that were punished by the witches and turned into familiars. So a little different take on that. But I mean,
like the Melissa Joan Hart show is like good and everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it has like its own place and all that kind of stuff. Salem from that show is like actual perfection and should be like every show would be improved if there was a wisecracking talking cat.
Yeah,
like every single show ever made.
Doesn't so matter what it is.
I do know something about that show, and that is that Frank Conniff from Mystery Science Theater became one of the writers for Sabrina. So according to him, it sounds like the wisecracking cat was, of course, everyone's favorite thing to write for. So it explains why he was probably the best part of the show, because that's what all the writers wanted to write, was just the wisecracking cat.
I don't want to write the episode. I just want to write dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't, I mean, I'm right there with them. All right. So back to the book. So we skip ahead again to 1962, which is the first day of sixth grade. And this is when Sabrina is realizing that she's a half breed, which is just a half human, half witch. And it's basically because, you know, kids were being kids and being evil and making fun of each other, as they do when they're terrible people. And so to do the trope of like scare the bully, her aunt turns into a giant freaky looking spider, which I'm like, yeah, but isn't this kid also a witch? Would that really scare her? Come on now.
I mean, apparently the whole family has a fear of spiders, which I don't really understand how a fear of spiders is genetic, but
here we are.
I'm not a witch.
Yeah, that's true. You got me. And then we also learn that they can communicate within the family telepathically. And Sabrina's getting like better at this as she gets older. So we're just kind of getting little hints as like her power is growing over time. But also she's like realizing kind of her place in this world, where she's kind of between these two worlds. And will she ever really belong to either is kind of the question we're being asked right now.
Hashtag relatable.
You are not wrong.
Yep. And then we keep skipping ahead. This time we skip ahead to when her cousin moves in, and he is not as good as in the show.
Oh, yeah.
But this character, Ambrose, and
so much better.
I mean, he's even like, oh, you must be the half breed. I mean, you're my cousin, Sabrina. I'm like, dude, what the hell? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just drop a slur on your family members the first time you meet them. It's fine.
Freaking mudblood over here. Come on.
Right.
And then we're told he sounds like Ringo, which is not the voice I was expecting for this character.
Yeah, that's true. They do say that.
So he's like, oh, he's the half-breed then. That's my terrible Ringo.
Sabrina, you've just got to fill a jar with some honey. That'll make that boy fall in love with
you. Damn, yours is way better.
Oh, my God.
And his familiars are, is it one snake with two heads on each end? Like a head on each end?
I think it's two snakes. Okay. But they never really show them too far apart from each other.
Yeah. The way they draw it, I was not able to tell. But
yeah,
he's two snakes, Jackson, over here.
Yeah, I think if they wanted it to be two snakes, that's boring and we should ignore it. And it should instead be one snake with two heads.
Yes.
Canonically.
On either end. Yeah, canonically. Yeah.
Does that mean he's still only got one familiar? Because I was like, doesn't two familiars kind of cheating?
I think so.
Oh, well, he is English, so he probably stole
one. Oh, that's fair. and then
because of colonization.
Yes, no, I got it. He's a big Elvis fan. I don't know this guy. I don't know about this guy. What do you guys think of this guy?
This guy. He definitely grows on me as we go along. Like his intro is bad, and then like afterwards I'm like, no, you're cool.
Yeah.
It's so He seems like such, this version of Ambrose seems like such a little, I don't know, like in the show, it seems like he kind of like, they made him stand up for stuff. And in this, yeah, he gets kicked out for like silly reasons. And he's, I don't know. I didn't like him. I thought he was a weak character, if we're being brutally honest.
Yeah. He, oh, we'd love to be brutally honest.
He's definitely a more fleshed out character in the show.
Yeah.
Like, he's secondary at best in this book, at least for this volume that we read. I mean, maybe he gets his time in the sun, as it were, later on. But he's like showing Sabrina, because she's like, yeah, high school sucks, like everyone said it would, because humans, am I right? Human teens. But which teens are even worse, it turns out.
High school does suck.
Yeah, it does. That's why we were talking about this at the Naruto Revuto did a movie night the other night of Twilight. And so they were just riffing it basically as like we watched in the audience, which was very good. Worth signing up for their Patreon, just throwing that out there. And we were talking about how they are like going back to high school to start over. And we're like, that would be the worst thing. Why would you keep going back to high school? Like, why doesn't the dad just tell everyone that, oh, no, I just homeschool my kids. He's like a genius guy, right? Like a doctor and everything. Nobody would question that.
No. So, or I don't go to community college instead. Right.
Like learn like a trade. Do something with your infinite life.
Come on high school.
Oh, man. I can't wait to learn about the mitochondria being the powerhouse of the cell for like the 40th right? time.
It's pretty good.
Oh, man.
But back to the book. Basically, this rest of this one is her meeting a boy, falling in love with boy, and asking Ambrose to like, hey, help me fall in love or help me get boy to like me. And so, like you said, he Ringo's up a spell. And it works. But in the meantime, we go to the forest again, where something wicked is happening. Two young witches in the town of Riverdale were trying to summon a succubus, a demoness of desire, to help them settle a bloody rivalry. And I didn't put it together at first because I'm very dumb that this is Betty and Veronica. And for some reason, they're witches in this version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Riverdale has its own coven.
Yeah, I also didn't realize it was them either.
Yeah, until later in the book where they explicitly are like.
Yeah.
But I'm dumb because like the next panel, they're like, we can't tell anyone, especially not Archie.
I love that there's this very like witchy sapphic relationship with Betty and Veronica, and it's just a little kiss that you get of them in the Sabrina comics makes me think that Archie might just be, you know, a fun thing that they do on the weekend.
Oh, probably. Absolutely.
I mean, it does show him later, and they're doing the cover always like to do, where it's the three of them all drinking the same milkshake. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it's like that in this version. Oh,
okay. They're a throuple.
Yeah. So in their mistaken ritual, because they screw it up somehow, they accidentally unleash Madame Satan from Gehenna. And she's like, well, I'm just going to go sit at the bottom of this lake for a while because it was really hot down there. So this is actually kind of nice. And it kind of gives her a little bit of the end of this one gets to do like the really creepy old school horror comic. And it's very good. I really liked how it ended and the way they draw her with no face because they'll get to that. But she has skulls for eyes, which is that's a look.
Yeah.
It's so
and
good.
She's pulling it off.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. She also has like the skull teeth, but has lipstick on them, which.
Yeah.
Like I think it only works because the art in this book is so like good at being a throwback to that old era. Horror that the weirdness of the character design on this character just works in that style, whereas like cleaner line work, like that more pristine modern coloring techniques, like this is intentionally designed the whole book to look a little washed out and sketchy, and it works so well with these character designs.
It works really well.
I feel like also besides red, there's not a lot of bright color. Like I don't think there's that much blue. There's the blue flame.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that,
like the water, like, yeah, there's, you're right. I didn't notice that there's almost
no blue. And Betty and Veronica are blue. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like all of the other colors are like super muted except for red.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into thoughts on issue one. Nika, you want to start us off?
I like it. I think for a first issue, if I were reading this issue to issue and I read this one, I'd be like, okay, I have to come back next week. Mm-hmm. I have to get the next one.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. I think that it's a good, like I said, departure from the traditional like sweet witch who's just trying to be understood and wants to help out. And it's spoopy.
Yeah. Kieran, any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, like I would agree with everything Nika said. Like if I was picking this up month to month and I picked this up like, oh, Sabrina, like I like the show and then pick this up, one, I'd be very surprised. Yeah. But like I would be super intrigued. Like it's one of my problems that I have with like with a lot of like monthly books is it does sometimes kind of feel like they are, and I'm sure like in some cases they really are doing it, but it kind of feels like they're writing just like by the seat of their pants sometimes and just like kind of making it up as they go along. But this like clearly feels like it isn't, you know what I mean? Yeah. So like it feels like if I pick up the next issue, I'm going to get a little more story and I'm going to get more invested and then I'm going to keep kind of going from there. And the story's just going to, yeah, the breadcrumbs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it feels very, like very well kind of thought out and plotted out. And yeah, it looks so good. It looks amazing. And definitely, Jonah, what you said about like that kind of old style of like horror comics is very evocative of that. And it's spoopy.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Like I have seen the show. I didn't realize that this comic was so closely connected with it. So the fact that it was hitting a lot of the same story beats, I was kind of surprised. Like I was kind of expecting them to be maybe two different takes on the same thing. And then there's some ways they're subtly different, but it's so far, at least with season one of the show, they're hitting a lot of the same beats. So it was like, if I had not seen the show, it would be like, wow, I've never seen Sabrina like this before. But now it's like,
this isn't your dad, Sabrina.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. My dad, known Sabrina the Teenage Witch fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was good. I liked the art. Kept me interested in seeing where they were going with this creepy ass book. So, all right. So, Kieran, do you want to take chapter two for us? The secret history of Madame Satan.
So the secret history of Madame Satan, which, as we will discover, is no longer that much of a secret because we're about to find out all of it. So as we said before, she's like chilling in the lake, just like having a good time eating like raw fish. And so she does a full like Camp Crystal Lake, comes out of the lake, finds a cabin full of girls. And I did find it really funny that she's like, I'm going to steal someone's face. Whoever wakes up at the sound of my voice will be my victim. And then just none of them wake up.
That was great. I'm like, oh, it's a bunch of teenagers sleeping. Good luck with that.
Yeah. I just imagine this big dramatic moment where she's like, I'm singing this really creepy song and they're all just passed the fuck out.
They're like, shut up, Brenda. So we're trying to sleep over here.
Yeah. God damn it. Stop it.
So instead she picks the prettiest one and she literally steals her face and wanders off in a blanket and gets picked up by a creepy trucker and she's like, I can see the ghosts of all of the women that you've like killed on the road, so I'm gonna kill you too, which I
appreciate.
I thought was cool. And I was like, you go. Yeah. you did that.
I mean, but did they have to do Vincent Price dirty like this by making this guy look like him?
Oh my god, yeah, they did.
Like a lot. Wow. Like him.
Yeah, like it's yeah, just a lot like him. Actually,
now that you've pointed it out, I'm like, damn, I can't unsee
really it.
Yeah. So she wanders off into the woods in the devil's favorite part of the country, New England, Massachusetts, and she finds Sabrina's dad trapped in the tree. And she's like, I'm totally going to free you and I'm going to resurrect you, baby, and it's going to be great. But then she touches the tree and she's like, oh, now I remember all the fucking shit you put me through. And so instead she sets him on fire.
I love it.
And destroys him. So far, she has stolen someone's face and killed two men, which, like,
get it, girl.
Get it, girl.
But she also, you know, in the cinders is like, ah, his bone powder that's left over. Better take that with me for another day.
Yeah.
For tuck that away for a rainy day.
Which, hindsight, after you read all of these, go back and reread it and pick up all of the little stuff. Because that was one thing I literally just noticed now whenever you said it, Jonah, that I was like, oh.
Yeah, it comes back at the end of this volume.
So good.
And so she carries on. You know, she's got a lot to do. And she ends up at the mental asylum that we saw at the very start of issue one. And she kind of uses her creepy, like, no face magic to, like, bewitch the nurse and find
Diana.
Diana. Diana, yeah. To find Diana Spellman. And she's kind of chatting with her, and Diana's not in, like, a great place. It basically explains to her that she and Edward, who is Sabrina's father, they were a thing, I guess.
Lovers.
Lovers. Yeah. And until Edward is like, JK, I've met a mortal. And not only have I met a mortal, I am soups going to, like, have a child with her. This is a decision that I have already made without talking to you.
I'm just gonna tell you right now, I'm gonna raw dog the fuck out of her. And Madam Satan's like, whoa, Edward, I'm an actual witch and you are the high priest of the church. It makes a lot more sense that we're together.
Yeah. And he's like, just kidding. I have already absolutely impregnated her. I hope that's fine. And she's like, fine.
It is not.
I'm going to throw myself into a pit of lions if that's how you feel about it. Which honestly, like, I love that sense of the dramatic, you know?
Yes.
Like,
yeah, oh my God. I was not sure where she was going with that. I'm like, oh, she's going to be so mad. She's going to rip these lions apart and make a big... No, she's being eaten. Okay, well,
yeah.
She gets eaten.
That's one, like, way to go.
I do feel... I feel like... Come
drama
on,
queen,
Satan,
come on.
Yeah, like, it's a dude. You can find someone else. But then also... Oh, to get ripped apart by lions, literally go through hell, and then come back and burn his fucking tree to dust. I'm here for that Carrie Underwood rendition.
Yeah, so she makes possibly, like, the grandest exit that I've ever seen in my life. Because it's implied that, like, she does it, like, immediately afterwards.
Yeah, I think, like she just they're standing right there, right?
Yeah.
She's like, well, screw this, and just, like, slam dunks herself into a lion's den.
She picks herself up in the back of the pants and is just like,
yeet.
Lorax yeets herself. Because she got ripped apart by lions and it was something that she did herself, she ends up in the Circle of Hell reserved for suicide, and she has no face in hell.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which was, like, this was a very intense depiction of hell, I thought. We should probably also say this book doesn't, like, it doesn't really shy away from the gore.
Oh, no.
There's lots of titties. No nipples, but lots of titties.
A lot of Barbie dolls in this book.
Yeah.
And so, she's like, and yada, yada, yada. Now here I am in front of you. And, you know, I'm probably just going to kill you because I feel like you've been through enough. And then I thought this was so fucking funny. She walks away and she's just like, just kidding. I changed my mind. Ha ha. And essentially gives her, like, clarity of mind so that she is aware of everything that is going on and has happened, and then just abandons her again. Mm-hmm.
Always gonna be that bitch. Been that bitch. Forever will be that bitch, Madam Satan. Like,
it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And then
pretty sneaky sis.
Goes back, leaving, singing the same song that she was singing, Que sera, sera, as she ripped off the face of a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she is hardcore.
Yeah.
And so she arrives in not Riverdale. The other
Greendale.
That's one, Greendale. And she goes to a bar, gets two guys to murder each other, which is very cool. And Sabrina has like a creepy dream that night that someone's chasing her. And she sees her mother, you know, yelling at her and being like, you're in danger and someone's coming after you, your father's first love. But such is the way with dreams. By the time she wakes up the next morning, she can't remember a thing.
It's just like, which is unfortunate, man, I'm so well rested tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, howdy, I slept well. And so the next morning, everyone's kind of sitting around, and the milk is all spoiled, which is, you know, it's an ill omen of things to come.
I love all this, like, these old wives' tale kind of thing. Like,
oh, they're so good.
This is 100%. If this should happen to my house, my mom would be like, ah, well, mean something bad's going to happen. Like, a broom falls in our house, and my mom's like, oh, company's coming before the day's done. Like,
interesting.
Oh my god, my mom's a witch.
Oh. Does her knee start hurting when it's gonna rain?
Yes!
Whoa, okay, she definitely is, Nika. She's been hiding that from you.
My mom's a witch.
Okay, no, okay, so no lie. Every single time there's gonna be a thunderstorm in Auckland, I start getting a headache. What? And it's like a particular like feeling of headache.
And you know.
And then I'll be like, oh god, why do I have such a headache? And I kind of like drink a bunch of water, still have it, and I'll be like, it's gonna rain later today. And then like an hour or hour or two later.
Okay, Kieran, rain. I'm going to tell you and something that might blow your mind. I just, with this week, saw an article that early man basically developed the way to smell that rainstorms were coming because they were so dependent on rainfall to survive. So it is like the one thing we're better at smelling than dogs, apparently.
What?
Wow.
Is that change in the atmosphere before it rains?
But apparently your body doesn't smell it. It just like starts.
Your body is just like, hey, guess what? Maybe that's your spider sense. It's telling you danger, thunder.
It tingles too much.
Yeah. So damn. Basically, we're all witches is what we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. We're witches.
That, yeah. I think we are. So Mrs. Satan, Madam,
please, Mrs. Satan was my mother. I was just trying to say.
So Madam Satan rents a little room from an old lady, and meanwhile Sabrina's like auditioning for like the big musical, which I think is it Bye Bye Birdie?
Yeah.
Her boyfriend's gonna play Birdie. And so she's really trying to get the role where she can smooch him on stage.
Ugh, the dream, right? and so I keep wanting to call her Mrs. Satan. Madam Satan. Madam Satan now has a crow familiar who is one of the guys who was killed at the bar the night before, which I thought was a little twisted, but also really cool. And so she kind of finds out like... Power move, absolutely. So she finds out like who Sabrina is, where she's at, and she kind of like gets all ready for her big plan. And so what she does is she kind of befriends the drama teacher who's in charge of the production, and she ends up putting a big old spell on her and makes her basically fall asleep forever. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, who's going to be the new drama teacher? What's going on? And the new drama teacher shows up, and it's Madam Satan herself. Oh, oh my god.
That's Miss Porter.
Miss Porter.
Yep. Miss Porter is a smoking teacher.
Oh my god.
I mean, she does use that to distract a teen later. So
yeah.
It's certainly a thing that is going to happen in a minute in this book.
Jonah, what do you think of issue two?
Issue two I thought was really cool because... You don't, like, I don't know, villain origin stories can be very generic and boring because a lot of times they're kind of samey, but this one was it very much its own thing and very well plotted. Like, it just, the way it moves through her, like, origin of when she first, you know, leads up to her suicide up to, like, her coming back, like... It hits all of these points that a good horror movie does, except it manages to cram that all into like, what, 20 pages or something? Yeah. It's incredibly well paced, I would say. And honestly, where it kind of got me on board, because at first I was like, this is kind of just the same thing as the show again. But then this version of her is like similar, but pretty different. Like in the show, she basically makes herself look like the person she's taking over. And then there's the whole like, what if the real one comes back? You know, that whole drama. Well, we don't need to worry about that here because she's like her own character, which is nice. I also, there was some really good touches in the art. Like when she's getting herself ready, she's putting makeup on, but she like has taken the face off that she had stolen and put it on like a mannequin head and is like doing its makeup. And I'm just like, damn, the visual of this is just very, very creepy. It's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's so many like little bits and pieces like that where it's like, they don't really make like a huge deal out of it. Just a lot of things are really just quite casually like horrifying or like creepy. And
I like because they're all witches. Like, you said it's like nobody's really reacting to how horrific it is. There's
a normalcy to it.
Yeah. Like when they're eating people at certain scenes within this book because they're cannibals, because they're witches, they're just like, yeah, we're having roast beef today. Wink.
Yeah. There's a bit in this issue where she's like, oh, there was a double homicide at a bar. And like Hilda or Zelda is like, oh, cool. I wonder if we can get the body. It'll save on groceries. And I was like,
yeah.
Zelda's, oh, I don't know if like we mentioned so that. Practical.
Yeah, that when they moved to Greendale, they purposely picked a house that is also a mortuary and has a graveyard on the premises. So it's like, wow, they've really found the perfect house for being evil witches. Well, I mean, I don't know if they're evil per se. Just I don't want to make a moral judgment. But.
I mean, if we go by strict technicalities in this, I feel like they have to be evil. They've sold their soul to Satan. They're doing sacrifice.
Yeah, that's true.
In the very stereotypical sense of evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'd probably eat a baby.
Yeah, they would definitely do that. So, all right. So we're going to get into chapter 3, Unholy Baptism. So we get another prologue. So we're back in 1962. And this is when Sabrina is being told about the ritual that's going to happen when she is 16, which is when she has to decide whether or not she's going to put her name in the Book of the Damned with the, you know, the devil and all. And we learn this is kind of in a tradition with the witch trials and stuff, and that their famous martyr is Giles Corey, which is the man that famously let them just keep piling stones on him during the witch trial. He just kept being like, more stones, because he was just showing them like, you guys are the evil ones here. And actually, I just watched a Drunk History about this guy, and it turns out him doing that is one of the things that led to the end of the witch trials. So he was really a martyr for for ending that. So I thought that was a cool detail to have worked that into the lore of this in a way that I wasn't expecting. Like, I just assumed they'd be like, oh, yeah, the witch trials were real, wink, wink, and not actually like dig into the history of it at all. But I thought that was a really cool tie in to like an actual person that did martyr himself, essentially let himself be killed to try and save the community because of them just accusing whoever they felt like at the time with no proof whatsoever. So, and then, so she's basically like, okay, so 16 is when they do that, and she's 11 in the flashback. So they're trying to explain to her, like, okay, this is all the crazy stuff that's going to happen. And she's just like, 16, that's like forever from
that's
now.
That's forever. Oh, my God. Like, they gave me, like, such vibes of, like, when I was, like, below like 10 and I was like, I am never gonna be a teenager.
Right.
It's too far away.
Yeah.
It will not
happen. It does feel that way. I mean, my kids are both under 10 and that's definitely their attitude right now. Where I'm like, for example, like the re-release of those Mario 3D games came out for the Switch. And I'm like, do you know how old I was when Mario 64 came out? And when I told them, they were just like, what? Yes, it was. It's pretty mind blowing when you're that age. Like, you know, your dad being 40. I mean, I might as well be 100, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So back in the present, Sabrina's hanging out with her boyfriend that she definitely didn't magic into loving her. And
totally fine.
It's all good.
No, it's all good.
And the Madam Satan, who is now masquerading as Miss Porter, is like, hey, Sabrina, can I talk to you about the play? And basically is like getting on her good side by being like, yeah, I know this other girl is like who the other teacher was going to pick, but I think you should have it. So basically she's like buttering her up because she's like, you and your boyfriend will get to kiss. It'll be great. And then we find out that, you know, her boyfriend is doing the teen boy thing of like, oh, but we should totally do things, guys. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. You're 16. Pump the brakes a little bit there, buddy.
Maybe you just don't feel the same way about me as I do about you. Fuck. Oh,
also,
my God.
Harvey, you waited 3 years. You can't wait one more freaking night.
Right? Because he's like, oh, you said we had to wait till we were 16. And then we're like, okay, so that's a weird conceit, that specific age. But we find out it's because the witches are like, oh, you have to be pure. And I'm like, damn, these guys are, what? I thought that you were witches. Like, what is up with this?
Right?
Like, well, I thought the witches would be like, yeah, like we were fully expecting you to have like smashed by 16, like fucking like anal by 18, like whatever you want. We don't care. You do it all.
Yeah. Find your but fetish no. And
yeah.
I mean, she basically like at one point says that they're as bad as the Puritans as far as that stuff goes. And yeah. I'm like, that's weird and correct for this and book.
I was gonna say that is not how it is in the show.
No,
at all.
Not even
like
kinda.
They oh, are okay. So they're just like, we're having an orgy. You can either join or please leave the room.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, no,
you're making
no
this weird for everyone.
Why are you wearing clothes? Be gone.
So Sabrina and what's her boyfriend's name? Harvey. That's right.
Harvey.
So Harvey, we find out they're actually been being spied on by Madam Satan's familiar, who has been reporting back, like, you know, they're going to, you know, basically just reporting in like, this is what they're planning on doing, blah, blah, blah. So we get some like information on like Sabrina's baptism and stuff. And we get some lore in this issue that's kind of talking about how like they used to baptize babies like a lot of Christian religions do. But then because of the witch trials, that kind of changed everything, and they kind of rewrote some of their laws, and that's why they moved it to 16, because then they can make an informed decision about whether they actually want to join the church or not.
I appreciate that.
It's weird how they're so like responsible about some things and then like weirdly conservative about other things.
Yeah.
And so Sabrina's having to decide like, okay, am I gonna sign the book and then be a full witch or not? And if she doesn't, then her powers are going to slowly fade and she'll just be a normal human. And then Ambrose is like, hey, but check out what they got you. So he sneaks into the morgue and shows Sabrina that the ants had bought her this really sweet broom that was
the morgue, more like the pantry.
Oh, you're not wrong. So now she's like, oh man, being able to fly on a broom does sound pretty sweet. Maybe this soul is overrated.
Yeah, right? I get to fly. Maybe I will sell myself.
I mean, they also
as if
age
the telepathy
super
wasn't
slow.
Like enough, so, too.
And then back at the school, Harvey is a football player. I don't know if we mentioned that. And Miss Porter, she's in her disguise as Miss Porter, is like leaning over all cleavagey and being like,
she's got her titties hanging out.
Yeah, no kidding. And she's like,
football game, put that shit up.
Using her mind powers to make Harvey look in her direction so that he fumbles a really like important yet easy to catch play. So even the coach benches him immediately. Cause like, how could you miss that? It was like right there. And he's like, oh, boobs were involved. I'm so sorry, sir. I mean, he doesn't, but he is a teenage boy. So, you know, like, yeah, we know.
It's the oldest magic of all. Yep.
And basically she's doing this to just kind of like, I don't know, kind of get in his head because she's, all just to set up like, hey, isn't it weird that Sabrina's acting kind of cagey about things? Maybe you should go into the woods and do the, you know, like, basically tricking him into looking
like,
for her.
Totally manipulates him too,
sure.
Because she's like, not only is it, hey, Sabrina like hasn't been feeling well, but also like, I heard Roz, that bitch who doesn't even like Sabrina, mm-hmm. talking about how she saw Sabrina going into the woods with, like, I don't know, like a boy, maybe mm-hmm. like a boyfriend kind of deal. Whenever Miss Satan, goddamn, Madam Satan, she's getting all variations. Mistress Satan knows damn well and good that Sabrina and Harvey are together and that Sabrina would not cheat on Harvey.
No. I mean, she magic
potion. I'm starting to get the impression. Like, I don't want to be too crazy here, guys, but, like, hear me out. I get the feeling that Madam Satan's not a nice person.
You know,
I was getting that a little with this issue.
Yeah, just a kiss. You know?
So, meanwhile, we are seeing Sabrina's actual ceremony proceed, where she has to, like, ride into the middle of the forest on a goat.
On a goat? Right.
Baphomet.
Yeah, Baphomet. And then she has to kill the goat to sacrifice it, which is where this gets a lot darker than the show.
Yeah. Because
we see an actual, like, goat sacrifice. And then when she turns around, there's just the devil standing there.
There's
like
Satan.
25 feet tall, like, skull with horns man with a loincloth, thankfully. You do not get to see the devil's penis in this, if you were wondering. So just turn around.
If that's
why
you're buying it.
I don't need to see the devil's dick. Satan's schlong.
Satan's schlong.
So she's like about to sign the book and the devil's like, write your name in my book. It'll be great. And she's about to. And then who should show up but Harvey, who's like, Sabrina, what are you doing?
What the hell are you doing, Sabrina?
And all the witches turn around and look, I'd say, a little upset about this new development.
A little bit,
you know, I think they look like dinner's just been served.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
Think they're giving him a look like he just ripped a real loud fart in the middle of an important ceremony.
In the middle of church.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially. And I like how the devil is just sitting there like, what is this development?
What the fuck is going on here?
And then Madam Satan is just like, the penny drops, the great harrowing begins. And that's the end of issue 3. Kieran, what did you think of issue 3?
Okay, so we've been doing this podcast for ages. This is like episode like 90 something. And, you know, I've read comics for years. I consider myself very savvy, you know, when it comes to like stories and media. I was still surprised when Harvey showed up. I was like, what? I was genuinely like, wow.
You were fully sucked into this world then.
I was totally sucked in. And I think that's really the hallmark of like such good like writing and pacing, that I was totally absorbed into it. And I just didn't even really consider the possibility that he would show up, even though it was quite clearly telegraphed. I think maybe where I was expecting it to go was, you know, they were kind of explaining it to her. And what we were seeing was her kind of like imagining going to the ritual, and that potentially she would decide to not do it. Or that Harvey would kind of show up before she left and they would kind of have a confrontation about it, and then she would decide to not do it. And so when it was real and he did show up, I was like, oh, drama. But I really liked it. Like the satanic ritual is great. It's super creepy. And it's like, I think, as I said, like at the start, it's like it's very old world witches, kind of like, you know, the blood and the bone and all that kind of stuff. And it's, yeah, it strikes like such a good like tone and feel for the whole thing. And I really enjoyed this issue. It was good stuff.
Nika?
I like this one. I think this one tends to get better for me about halfway through. Mm-hmm. This I like the kind of flashback stuff at the beginning is fine. And I do think what I like is that this comic does a really good job of doing flashbacks in a way that isn't completely confusing for the reader. Because I think a lot of times in books, it can be harder to do flashbacks because there's not the clear cut, like you were in the past, you were back in the present.
Yeah.
In that, as there is in a show. But I think that this comic is extremely good about using flashbacks in different ways in Madam Satan. I think it uses it kind of in like a different way than what it does here, but like it really utilizes that, but it makes it in a way that's not completely intrusive to the story and makes you like kind of lose what's going on. But I really like the last bit.
Yeah.
I
was not sure for a second whether or not this was a dream either, Kieran. So you're not alone. Like at first I was like, oh, is this her imagining what it's going to be like? But then you're like, oh no, this is actually happening. Like I knew he was going to show up based on what it set up. So I can't 100% go with you on that. I'm sorry. But, I wasn't sure like, oh, is this, until he showed up, I thought this was a dream and like, something really crazy would happen. It's like, oh, it is crazy, but it's not like, you know, the earth exploding or something, you know, like literally earth shattering because it's not a dream. This is actually happening. So, but yeah, it was really interesting. Again, very well paced and fits like the whole book fits together very well. Like it's not jarring issue to issue because it was clearly written as one long story. Like you said, Karen, sometimes it does feel like they're kind of writing by the seat of their pants with like deadlines and whatnot. And I did not have that feeling at all here. Like everything feels very, very planned.
I almost wonder if they had the whole thing done and then split it.
Yeah, that could be just like
as opposed to doing it issue by issue, maybe? Just I don't know,
finding like no, okay, here's the good cliffhangers we need to end each issue
yeah
on. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me too much because that'll get you to buy the next one for sure.
Yeah, or at least having it like kind of fully fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
Writing it
now when I write, I can't plan that far ahead. I just not one of my strengths. I'm definitely a by the seat of my pants kind of writer, so
oh, same.
All right. So, Kieran, you want to take our final chapter? Chapter 4.
I will.
Harvey Horrors.
Uh-oh. SpaghettiOs. So, Harvey's like, well, this seems bad. And Sabrina's like, yeah, you should fucking get out of here. So, he's running away. And all the witches are, like, gross and transformed and, like, running after him, being like, we need to kill this man immediately. And so, we get this kind of weird, like, flashback of him like running into some bullies when he finds some cheeky little porno magazines in the forest. It's like, you know, this isn't the first time he's had to like run for his life, but this time is much more serious. And who should he run into? But Sabrina. And Sabrina's like, oh, thank God we found each other. Like, phew, we're safe now. Here, let me kiss you. Oh, and it's not Sabrina. It's actually a witch. Oops, sorry, Harvey. Meanwhile, Sabrina is tied up in some vines and the head priestess or whatever is basically like, you have fucked this.
Ripping her a new one.
Yeah. But Sabrina, much to her credit, just like bursts out of the vines that she's been put in. She's like, I need to go and make this right. Hilda and Zelda, you try and fix part of this for me. And so she's like running through and she's like thinking, you know, I've totally made the wrong decision. And, you know, we're going to run far, far away from here and we're going to have this like life together and it's going to be great. And she finds Harvey and he has been eating.
Yeah, I was not so expecting that. It was I was like, oh, this is going to be like another flash forward. And then she's going to fix. No, he's really dead. He's
he's really
extremely dead right now.
Yeah. Yeah. His whole like chest cavity has been like eaten, including like the bottom of his face. It is quite definitive.
Yeah, that it's pretty dead. Disturbing.
And so she then does kind of have a flash forward and there's all these like little like Polaroid photographs like on the page all about like what their life was going to be. We're like, you know, they were going to be king and queen at prom and graduating and married and have children and always tell their kids to never go in the woods. And it's this whole like life story that they were going to have. And instead she just thinks about the witch saying he was delicious and she passes out.
Understandable.
Yeah, like obviously. Well, because she hasn't eaten for like a day.
Oh yeah.
Prepare for the ritual, yeah. So she's pretty tired. So basically, the next morning, Hilda and Zelda are like, "Yeah, we need to basically cover up this murder, and don't worry, the coven is going to take care of the whole thing." And you know, he's basically going to disappear, and no one will ever find out about this. And she like. I think for Sabrina, this is kind of one of those moments where she realizes that Hilda and Zelda, they are her aunts and they do love her, But they are still witches.
Yeah. Yeah.
She actually sees them in like that same transformed style. Form. Yeah. Where they're like weird undead creatures with faces that are all melted looking.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, they when gross. They said they were witches, they really meant it. They weren't just joking around.
Yeah.
They weren't.
Oh, that's right.
The whole like human sacrifices and things that's real.
And like, this is really good of like kind of reminding you of those moments where you forget, because a lot of it is, oh, magic is fun and magic you use to make Harvey love you and to win the big game and all of that. But then the ants come in and they're like, okay, so we're covering up this murder that happened because of you, and it's okay, but like, I mean, definitely you're just gonna lie to everyone all day and we're gonna pretend like the whole coven didn't eat him.
Yep.
And it's just, I don't know, it's like this kind of sobering reality, or sobering like push back to witch reality.
Yeah.
No, it does definitely feel like a massive contrast from the end of the third issue, where it's like, hey, like, you're gonna do this crazy ritual and it's gonna be kind of, you know, it's a little bit wacky, but you're gonna fly on a broom and like achieve your true powers. And then now it's like, we've eaten a boy.
Yeah.
And we're going to make sure that no one ever finds out about it.
But, like, the flying is still going to happen. So just.
It's fine.
I do have a question. Now that Sabrina has signed her name in the book and has become a witch and therefore is less like a human, will she eat more human flesh?
But because did it she sign the book, or did she get interrupted?
Did she sign the book, though? Mm.
I think she signed it.
I don't know. They never clarify that in this.
That's true.
Because they get interrupted right as she was about to touch pen to paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was never sure if she did.
I think she didn't. That's my theory. But I haven't read past this volume. So
I have to say, I know on the thing, I think it says there's like 8 issues. Mm-hmm. I've never been able to buy them. I have had volume 2 on my wish list for like years. Yeah. I don't think it's ever coming out.
I believe it's on Comixology, the digital site. You check there, because I thought it said volume 2 was also on there. So
That would be awesome.
Potentially it's just it was just digitally released, and they've just had like,
maybe that's what it was,
just never released it physically.
That does happen sometimes these days. All right, so back to it.
So back to the murder. And she does basically what we described in her, Harvey's parents keep calling and being like, where is he? And she is just lying the entire time. And it, you know, obviously it's fairly rough on her, and the entire town ends up like searching, all over for Harvey. And we even get, a bus full of Riverdale kids showing up, looking for Harvey, including Betty and Veronica.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we remember them. And Madam Satan, meanwhile, is like, oh, they're finally here. Time for the next part of my devious plan. And so Madam Satan finds Betty and Veronica, and she's like, do you fucking remember me? We're going to do some shit together now. And then we also have this really disturbing scene where, Hilda and Zelda keep like making new foods for Sabrina to eat to try and get her to, you know, keep her strength up. But she's like, no, I'm not hungry. And she realizes that there is a possibility that they have been eating Harvey this entire time in order to make the body disappear, which I was like, that's kind of fucked.
Yeah. And I did notice the way they drew the food in this is very different from the way they were drawing the food earlier. Like, it was like, you knew they were eating humans, but like, now it's very gory when they're like taking a bite and stuff. Whereas before.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it's supposed to be kind of like, since Sabrina grew up with that, to her, that was normal. But now she's realizing this is not normal.
Yeah. Like the glass shattering moment. Uh-huh.
That's how I interpreted that.
And so a little while later, they're watching the liberal news media, the three bullies that Harvey actually ran into all those years ago, they are arrested for the murder of Harvey. And basically Hilda and Zelda are like, yeah, like, they didn't commit this murder, but they've done like other bad things. So, you know, it's like justice in a way.
Yeah.
And, you know, the police will get a confession eventually, and we get like a panel of the police like just beating the shit out of one of them to obviously force some kind of confession. And it's like, I think this is kind of the first like hint that we get that the witch's like influence runs very deep.
Well, and this also like, we're going to protect our own. It doesn't matter what the cost is because you're a human and we don't give a shit about you.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, and so then Sabrina, just as like a one final emotional gut punch, ends up sitting down with Mrs. Kinkle, Harvey's mum. And she's like, hey, so I found an engagement ring in Harvey's drawer and he was going to propose to you on your 16th birthday. And Sabrina's like, oh, thanks. This is really great. And runs off to the bathroom. This is the best
time you could have given this to me.
Yeah. Thank you. Love this. And yeah, so Sabrina is just like absolutely devastated. And then that's when Madam Satan swoops in and is like, I can help you, but only if you want to. And that's the end of our show. What did you guys think of this one?
I think this was probably like the weakest, but not in a bad way. I think it just it's more of like kind of the we have to clear up what happened last episode. Mm-hmm. Like I really don't care about Harvey. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
Definitely
about
felt like the falling action of the story arc.
Yeah. This was a necessity, but I think it still gives you good information. It still gives you like an insight into the witch life and like the extremes that they'll go to make sure that everyone is taken care of, family is taken care of and everything. So I see its importance. Not my favorite.
Yeah. Some real dark subject matter in this one. And also, the getting engaged at 16 was, I'm assuming because it's the 60s, maybe that was a thing in like very conservative areas. Like I've heard the term engaged to be engaged before when I was younger and it icked me out a lot. And
yeah, and we had our promise.
Yes,
rings?
That is a thing. Apparently.
I don't know if that's still a thing. They used to be a thing.
It used to be a thing.
Yeah. They were a thing when I was at high school, which, you know. Not that long ago. I did know a few people that I went to high school with who, you know, oh, such and such has a promise ring with blah, blah, blah.
Did they ever get married?
Neither of them are actually Christian. They're just promising to have sex with each other when they reach 16. Fuck.
God.
So, yes, they were a thing, but no, they did not get married.
I would be really interested if you listen to the show and if you ever if you have ever been given or have given someone a promise ring and you got married to that person, please tweet at me. I want to know how many, I'm assuming four of you there are.
Yes. I mean, hey, there's got to be at least one couple in all of history where it worked out fine, right?
Sure.
And here's the thing. I'm not going to like, in Danny and I, essentially, we dated since high school and got married. So we're kind of like, I could have seen us potentially having a promise ring situation, but we didn't.
But you did.
So I know it happens.
Yes.
But I want to know specifically with the promise ring.
The promise ring. Yeah. That's like a step further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Also to totally just disagree with both of you. I loved this previous session. Yeah.
Really?
I thought it was great. Yeah. I was like, I think because it has such a strong contrast from the previous one, where it's just like, we're now going to go super, super dark. And this is like the depths to which the witches will go to protect their own. And this is everything that they are willing to do to get what they want. And it was entertaining in a way to see Sabrina like go from this like massive high of like, I'm going to fly on a broom to I now have to lie about my boyfriend being eaten. Yeah. And you know, like I'm not saying like, yeah, I love it when bad shit happens to characters that I like. But it's like the contrast is so strong. Yeah,
that's fair.
And so I thought so well delivered that I was like, fuck, this is like really heavy, intense stuff. Like, oh, I just like I need to keep reading to see like
fair.
Where it goes kind of thing. So I really enjoyed it.
I can see this as a side, looking at it in a different viewpoint of seeing this as, okay, after you commit a crime, what do? And this is like the murderer's side of, mm-hmm. oh, I just killed someone. Let's cover it up. So I can see the interest there, instead of more of like a general, like this is a housekeeping issue.
Yeah. I mean, for them it is.
Yeah.
You're right. I do like that. It shows how dark the witches are willing to go as far as like keeping their secrets. Go on then, keep your secrets. You don't eat my face in the process. So we got one more chapter. I think I said the last one was the last one, but I'm wrong. There's a chapter
this
5.
This is kind of shorter though, isn't
it? Yeah, I think so.
It is, yeah. So essentially Betty and Veronica are approached by Madame Satan after their play rehearsal where they're playing the Witches of Macbeth, mm-hmm. which is very apropos. And she's like, it's time for creepy magic.
Woo! Do you see when they were trying to recruit their friend though? That's like,
yeah.
I got to get to Christian school. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I do love that was the counter.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, sounds interesting, but I have Jesus things.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I guess we'll get her later. Yeah. In the meantime, Sabrina is before the council, the witch council, basically being like, just, you know, she's on trial, essentially. We kind of intercut with, you know, her dad being on trial for wanting to marry a mortal. And it is kind of interesting that... they're like, why should we let you marry this mortal? And she's like, and he's like, because Satan wants me to, and I can summon Satan right here if you want me to. And they're like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You don't need to do that. We don't have to bring dad into
this.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing as well that the witches are weirdly conservative about, because her dad does mention the Satanic Bible is also quite clear on male-to-male relations between warlocks, but that's never stopped you from indulging, has it? And I'm like, is Satan not cool with the gays? Because that doesn't seem right to me.
Right?
It was a weird choice.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I think...
But back to Sabrina's
talk. I was going to say, though, I'm wondering if the point was showing that there are parallels between the two sides of this coin, like the Christianity side and the Satan side, of like they actually are kind of stemming from a lot of the same morality choices, I guess, like what they would call morality choices. I don't know. It was a weird choice, though. Like, I was not expecting that to be a thing, because the show is definitely not that way about this kind of stuff. Everyone's just like, yeah, whatever, do whatever you want. You guys are consenting adults, kind of.
Yeah. You're all of legal age.
So Sabrina's on trial, and they ask her, you know, like, did you know about any of this kind of stuff? And, you know, did you know that he was going to show up? And she's like, no, I didn't know anything about it. I had no inkling that any of this was going to happen. And so they bring out the coals of truth. And so she dips her hand in them, and she's like, nope, doesn't even
feel warm at all. She's like, fear's the mind killer, my friend. You just let it pass through you, and only I remain. Am I right?
Is that a Dune reference?
That is a Dune reference.
Okay. But we then cut away to the woods, and Veronica's hand is like on fire.
Yeah.
It's gone. She's like, it is crispy.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that is the one thing that I didn't get, is because Sabrina did not know that Harvey was coming.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't involved with the Madame Satan conversation at all, and she hadn't seen Harvey since then. Because she'd been gone all day. Okay, so I don't understand why Veronica's hand would burn in the first place on this. Because the whole thing is that if she was doing something against the Dark Lord, then her hand would burn.
Yeah. I was also confused by that. Like, She didn't know though, right? She was just as shocked as everyone else was.
Yeah, because I was just reading it. And so, because he says, we listen to the testimony and answer claim there is blah, blah, blah. They're just as surprised as the rest of them. And you assume the same, you claim the same. And she says, I didn't know Harvey was coming and I have no idea how he even got there. That's the truth. But at this point in the story, as we discover, she's already talked to Madame Satan because they're planning on bringing Harvey back to life. So by the time she goes to the trial, she does know. She knows how he got there.
And Okay.
Satan is a stickler for the rules.
I was going to say.
I mean, he loves getting people on technicalities.
So I'd like, I'm not sure what lie Madame Satan would have told her, but she would have been like, yeah, Harvey thought that something was going on and that's why he showed up. And so, you know, he was coming after you. It wasn't a random thing. And so I'm sure that the council would be like, well, you shouldn't have been dating a mortal. Go to hell. Right. That kind of thing.
Okay. Yep. Okay, fine.
Yep. No, you got me. You got me.
I'll eat Martin Croswell.
Yeah, so Veronica's hand's on fire, which is pretty intense. And so the judge is like, okay, let's do another test where we're going to stab you with a giant, like, bone needle through your hand. And Sabrina's like, fucking do it. And so they stab her, and there's no blood drawn. Betty, however, has a lot of blood pouring out of her hand while she's in the forest, which is pretty intense because there's just a giant hole in her hand.
Can we real fast, the most, like, probably, I think, cringy line in this whole, comic is in this section where he's like, we're going to drive this spike through your hand and it's going to hurt so bad. And Sabrina looks at them and she says, I go to high school. Do your worst. Like, worst is
pretty bad.
Or, like, high school is anything remotely close to hell level of torture.
Yep.
It's the same thing.
Mm. Yeah. What is he? Your torments will be unending. High priest, I go to a public high school. They already are.
Sassy.
Oh my god, you dramatic bitch.
Yeah, get that fuck out of here, Sabrina.
But yeah, I agree. That was like the one bit where I was like,
okay,
I'm just gonna skip.
Okay, but right after that, I have to say there was a line that made me kind of laugh because when Betty is there with a huge hole in her hand gushing blood, and Madame Satan's just like, it's the satanic stigmata, that's all. It's like, come on, don't be such a baby.
Half your hand is missing, but come on.
Yeah. Suck it up.
So Sabrina is cleared of all crimes, and she's let go, and she's like, whew, I'm tired. I'm going to go up to my room and just sleep. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to do anything else other than just have a little bit of a nap because I'm so tired. But oh my god, she was lying. Madame Satan's actually in her room. So Madame Satan is at the window and she's like, let's go and do magic in the woods. And so they fly off together, meet up with Betty and Veronica. And this is the bit, Jonah, where they're like, this is Betty and Veronica from Archie, and they are both witches, in case you have not yet figured this one out. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, cool. Thank you for covering that.
In hindsight, so I feel very stupid for not noticing that the first time.
Oh, same. Same. And so they do this big ritual where they're like dancing and writhing, and they've got candles and all, you know, chanting and stuff. And then just as the ritual is about to complete, Madame Satan's like, no, let's stop. And then we give the spirit time to come back on its own, and it will be here in 3 days. And so everyone's like, all right, let's just let Comixology crash. So everyone kind of goes back home and gets back on with their regular lives. And Betty and Veronica drink a milkshake with Archie. And, you know, people go bowling and they go to the movies and stuff. And Salem finally makes a return to the story. And he's like, I feel like you're hiding something. And Sabrina's like, no, I'm hiding nothing. Mm-hmm. I've done nothing weird. I'm just going to read a book and, you know, hang out or whatever. On the porch.
Everything she does is technically weird. Am I right?
That's true.
That's very true. And so then we go and see Harvey's parents. And his dad is like, you need to stop setting a place for our son at the table. He's gone.
This scene was very sad.
He's not coming back.
It made me sad.
It was really sad. Yeah. And speaking of weird, Harvey literally rises from the ground.
What?
And so Sabrina gets pricked by a splinter, and Madame Satan is in the bathtub, and she goes, "Oh, by the pricking of my thumb, something wicked this way comes." And sure enough, there is a knock at the door of Harvey's parents' house, and her mom is his mom is like, "Oh, it's him. It's our boy. He's come home." And the dad's like, I don't think that's true, and tries to kind of like hold her back from answering the door. So she brains him with a lamp and kills him.
Mm-hmm. I was not expecting that.
But also, wow.
Yeah. And so she opens the door, and at the door is what looks like their son, but instead he says, "Hello, my name is Edward Spellman."
Dun, dun, dun.
And he then ties up the parents and rings Sabrina. And that's the end of the issue.
And that's the end of the volume.
So spoopy.
And that's the end of the volume
so
as well.
Spoopy.
Yeah. So,
we'll
get into this and final thoughts. I guess I'll kick us off because I keep putting it on you guys to go first. So the pacing of this issue, again, very well done. Like the dread you start feeling when you see Harvey rise from the ground and you're like, this is going to end real badly for everyone involved. And they keep showing like glimpses of him, and they show him looking like maybe he's a zombie or like a, you know, a monster or something now, because like, even his hand, like they show it kind of dripping, but the way it's drawn, you can't tell. It's like, is he just covered in mud or is he like melting? Like the way they draw it, it's hard to tell. And the crazed look in his mom's eye when she hears the knock is just, it's very well done. Like she has fully like snapped from reality. So I'm like, I'm not sure if she's supposed to be bewitched at this point, because why would she turn on her husband and murder him for being like, hey, maybe we should slow things down because this doesn't feel right.
Well, and I didn't understand why the dad would be so like I get thinking, okay, our son is gone. It's been a few weeks. But why would you be like instantly thinking that it wasn't, that it would be some sort of supernatural kind of creature? Like his, the dad's reaction to me made me think that he believed it was something that was like a zombie.
Yeah.
Or something that wasn't like you. Why wouldn't you just be like, oh my God, this could be Harvey. He could be back. Mm-hmm. Maybe he got lost or ran away or whatever.
Right.
I don't know.
It makes me wonder.
Suspicion from the dad.
Yeah. It makes me wonder if they will explain that something else was going on here later, because
like a spell?
It feels, the reactions feel very over the top for what's happening. Like both parents you'd think would be very excited if it could potentially be him coming home.
I kind of wonder if maybe there's like, because I think this was a little bit with the trial, if there's a little bit of like rushed writing. Or maybe they're like, well, we need to like kind of put a bow on this part. We don't, this isn't important to anything else, really. Yeah. It just got us to where we needed to go. So maybe that's why it doesn't seem quite as strong.
Yeah, it's possible.
Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, it feels a little out of place almost. But otherwise, you know, it serves its purpose of the big reveal. But like you said, it feels like we're not getting the whole picture here of what is happening to make the mom just instantly murder her husband.
Yeah.
But it makes me kind of wonder if the him possessing their son's body is like somehow casting like a darkness upon their household. Maybe.
It's,
I mean, there.
Oh, for
there's
sure.
Witches involved, I'm sure. So I assume bad things are happening. But Nika, do you want to give us your final thoughts on this volume?
Yeah. So this I liked in this in the last issue. I specifically liked the difference between Betty and Veronica doing the chant and it happening like at the same time with Sabrina and Madame Satan and everything. I thought that was like really nice. Overall, the pacing of the story is really good, except in the two parts that I think it just seems a little like forced. but also for a horror story, having two little pieces that feel that way is like a huge accomplishment. Yeah. So overall, great story. Very spooky. Great. I thought a great job of weaving the story in a way that you didn't necessarily see what was important until going back, like the bone dust. Mm-hmm. You just see that. And it's one of those things, like, of course, they note it in the comic. So it should point out something to you of being important, but you don't know what, you don't know how.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, you're like, oh, shit, that was the bone dust.
Yeah.
And so I like the little stuff like that a lot. And I just like the darker story.
Yeah.
It's good. Not everything needs to be sunshine and rainbows, happy witches. Sometimes witches need to, you know, have some saggy eat titties people. And eat people. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
It's good.
Kieran, final thoughts on this?
If you enjoy horror comics, like, it, you know, if you've only ever listened to our other episode with Nika where we reviewed witches and you were like, oh, I want more witches, then, I mean, this is really for you. Like, the tone is so good. The pacing I thought was really good. There are a couple, like, fine bits, but, I mean, like, everything else around it is so good that, like, I didn't really mind. I read the whole thing all at once because I was so, like, drawn into everything. I will say the characterization is maybe a little bit weak compared to some other things that we've maybe read. Like, there's not as much character development as there is like story stuff happening, but like, it's a horror story, so I didn't really mind that much. Like, I like Sabrina. I don't really know that much about her, but I like her. So when stuff is happening, I do care. But yeah, like the tone of everything and like of all the witches and the world and the art, like it's all just so like evocative and so like, it just feels good to like read it and just have this like really creepy like tone to the whole thing. And I really enjoyed it. And for the spoopy season, it's very perfect. And I would super recommend. And I definitely want to watch the show now, having read this.
I want to hear what your thoughts are on the show. So now yes, you have to watch it.
Exactly. I was actually going to bring that up because I was actually kind of happy that one of us hadn't seen it, because you brought up some very good points that I didn't even think of about how much character you're getting, because Nika and I have both seen the show. So there's a part of our mind, I'm sure, like Nika, you're probably the same way, where you're kind of filling in a lot of the blanks yourself.
Yeah.
Because this was like the same, you know, basis for the show. So like, we kind of had an unfair advantage of like knowing kind of what their personalities were going to be and stuff. But this definitely is a darker version. Like, the show is dark, yeah, but this is way darker, I would say, than the show even.
Oh gosh. Yeah. And I think too, I didn't even think about the characterization of, or character development throughout it until you said something, Kieran, but I kind of wonder if it isn't there because it's already an established comic like universe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the yeah, Archie potentially, world. Yeah.
So maybe that's why. But
I was gonna say, it's not
it,
like we need Batman's origin in every movie. Oh, yeah. Wait.
And yet.
But yeah, no one really grows or changes or anything. Well, Harvey changes into like a weird zombie. Yeah.
I have a feeling that will start more in volume 2, which I'm now curious to read.
I would assume.
So
yes,
I'm assuming that was a strong recommend from both of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You got to read it. Grab it this month.
Yeah. I will say as a disclaimer, if any of that sort of satanic horror bothers you, this will bother you a lot. So,
yeah.
So because I very specifically know, like, that is not my favorite genre by a long shot of horror. However, I feel like this comic did a good job of like incorporating the historical elements in a way that made it more palatable to me personally. Mm-hmm. So, like, yes, recommend if you are into some like want a really spooky comic. Weirdly, it is Sabrina, which like, you don't think of as being that way. And I think people are probably a little shocked by the show being so intense. But I feel like this has it beat as far as that goes, you know. And it's got a lot less of the high school drama and the wackiness. So
yeah,
it's just pure on pure full on like horror.
CW.
Yeah, full on horror comic. So if that's what you're looking for, yeah, definitely check it out. And if you have Comixology Unlimited, you could just borrow the volume. So then,
yeah, it is free on Comixology Unlimited.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for us. So, Nika, where can people find you online, podcast, all that stuff? This is where you get to your projects.
Cool. Okay, fun. You can find me on Twitter at Nika_Howard. For podcasts, you can find me on Greetings Adventures. We're on Twitter at D&D Podcast. I'm also part of Love to Hate Podcast and the Wintercrest Podcast, which is like CW supernatural monster teenagers. Yeah. So if you like Sabrina, you might like that.
I think you would. I think
little less darkness, little more smut.
Yeah. And very funny.
Yeah.
Because of the, you know, the people involved make it enjoyable.
Oh, yes.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. I think they're pretty decent people. Yeah. All right, Kieran, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Mr. K_Bennett. Or you can check out my D&D podcast, which is for crits and giggles. That is at for CNG podcast. Also, go to Instagram and follow One News, which is my like the place that I work for. That's the number one and then news. And I sometimes do an Instagram bulletin in the Instagram stories for that. So watch it. Boost the numbers because we're trying to get marketing department money for that and like
cool
push it out there.
I have to say every time I listen to those, when you've linked them to me, I'm like, I get to hear Kieran on like a news thing. This is so cool. It's like Kieran's like a real professional out there in the day to day. All right. So you can find me on Twitter at A Real Jonah, and also follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/inksandissues, because that's where we've been recording the podcast now. And I'm trying to get some streaming going, although my PC decided not to recognize the internet this weekend when I was going to stream yesterday.
Oh my God.
So I don't know if my Ethernet card died or what's going on. So I have to dig into that. But hopefully I can get that going this week because I'm off for like a week and was hoping to do a bunch of streaming. So we'll see how that goes. So give us a follow. You'll know when we go live. And with that, we'll see you all next time. Goodbye. Thank you, Nika.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Nika. Happy Halloween.
Need more mutants, metahumans, or monsters in your life? Then check out these other Geekly Inc. shows, including Cthulhu and Friends, Dear Internet, Greetings Adventures, Transformation Sequence, and many more fantastic podcasts. You can help us make the show the best it can be by supporting us over at patreon.com/inksandissues, where you can get bonus content, early access to episodes, and can even vote on comics for us to review. Don't forget to also leave us a 5-star rating and review to help us spread the word. Want to interact with us on Twitter? You can find us at Inks and Issues or on Twitch at twitch.tv/inksandissues. Now do yourself a favor and go read some gosh darn comics!